Jump shot. It goes. Zach Randolph does it again. 3-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three. Ties it up.
First team all defense. First team all defense.
Here's Gasol from outside. The relentless Tony Allen. Shot clock at four. Randolph puts it up. Puts it in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show, Tuesday edition of the show. And you know what that means? Amari Sankofa from The Athletic joins us every single week. What's going on, man?
Man, it's going pretty good. Long weekend with the trade deadline and taking place over a three-game road trip. So stepping good and long, and I'm feeling pretty back to normal yesterday. I just kind of felt like a zombie.
Yeah, it's been a wild last week or so for the Grizzlies. A lot of travel for yourself, for the team. We're going to talk about the Grizzlies trade line today. We're going to talk about Zach Kleiman spoke to us yesterday early afternoon. We'll talk about that as well. But first, before we get on to everything else, why won't Andre Iguodala, why won't this thing just go away? I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, I'm at the point where, you know, I'm just like, Iggy's no longer here. He's in Miami. The Grizzlies got Justice Winslow. People are still mad. You know, I don't know. And I know he did the piece with Sam Amick yesterday, which I think kind of fanned the flames again. This may be a thing that lasts forever. I don't know if we're ever going to stop talking about Iggy. Like, it'll be 2030 and he's going to, like, be some GM somewhere. And he's going to, like, shoot the Grizzlies over in a trade. And it's just, like, it's just going to be an endless cycle. I don't think we're ever going to escape it.
I was so ready to be just, like, not to stop talking about Andre Iguodala this week. And then – but it seems like every time I hop on social media, there is another interview or there is another article or there's something different he is saying or – I mean, it just – you're right. It just – it will never go away. Did you read the – I'm not sure you read the article with Sam Amick. For me, that seemed like a lot of backpedaling in the article. Did anything stick out to you that you thought was, I guess I would say, a discrepancy on what he said in terms of how everything went down? Not that it matters. Again, it didn't read in terms of trying to find the truth. Let's just letting Andre Iguodala tell his story.
I guess to an extent, it's tough to parse exactly what is truth and what is fiction, given that the Grizzlies' official staff on this the entire time has been. We're working in tandem with Andre Iguodala's group. The current situation is what we both agreed to. And, you know, like before the trade deadline, we're confident that we'll find a preferred outcome for both parties. And then after, of course, they said that the Winslow deal was their first option over any potential draft options they had on the table. And, you know, both parties came out on top, obviously, because Iggy got up to $30 million guaranteed. So, it's tough to say, you know, what Iguodala has said, like how much of it does not line up with what actually happened. Because, of course, Shams reported, I think, back in, I want to say July or August, I forget the exact date, that Iguodala was refusing to engage in buyouts. And Iggy's also said on the record, I think he had the NBC interview, that he didn't want to leave any money on the table, which would have put the Grizzlies in position to buy out his full $17 million, which generally in that situation, the player would give up a couple million, team saves money, it's fine. So there's been a lot of reporting out there. Personally, I think it would just make sense for the Grizzlies to want Iguodala to report, you know, but I don't want to speak on their behalf, obviously. But I would just say that both parties came out ahead. And, you know, as much as we can try to parse what actually happened in that situation, we can't really argue that none of this was ever truly bad for the Grizzlies. They traded for him because they got a first-round pick. They carried him into the trade deadline because they figured they could get something else for him, whether that was a pick or a young player, and they did that. So Iggy could, you know, say, you know, like, there's not much Iggy could say that could make this situation a bad one for Memphis. They signed up for this because it was good for them, and it ended up being good for them. So, but it's just tough to figure out, you know, exactly what happened in that room, given that the Grizzlies have, you know, for the most part, not, you know, said anything negative about Iggy, his party. They've taken a high road for the most part, and of course, it worked out for him.
Yeah, because it there was a lot. It seemed like a lot of backpedaling in the article, just in terms of how he was answering some of the questions. Even it read like that. And again, it doesn't matter. Like you said, the Grizzlies, by all accounts, did everything they needed to do, and literally got a first round pick and Justice Winslow for a guy who never set foot in this city. Like, they just got given both those things, basically. So kudos to them. Like, you know, they really did a good job there, and I'm not going to – I don't think it matters. So let's move on. That's going to be the last time we talk about Andre Iguodala on this show, I think. I hope. Well, let's move on to the – we'll see. We'll see next week. I don't know. But let's move on to the trade deadline. The Grizzlies, obviously, the biggest trade was Justice Winslow. Let's talk about that in the next segment. Let's start with the other two guys, Gorgui Dieng as well as Jordan Bell. They obviously had a target in mind for backup bigs that they wanted to go out and get. Thoughts on either one of those guys being able to come in and help right away with this team? Obviously, they were available against the Wizards. I did not play. But your thoughts on either one of those guys being productive in a reserve role for this team?
Absolutely. I thought the Dieng pickup was really good. He's a guy that played at a high level in Minnesota. He's a good defender. He shot the three really well. Although he's not a high volume three-point shooter, but you know, he actually seems to be a tad better as a shooter than doing the silent shooters. So I think that's a clear upgrade as far as that third center position. I mean, Bruno was good. He played well. Obviously, the opportunities weren't always there for him. And he was hurt the last month going into the trade deadline, so we didn't get to see him as much. And I'm just curious to see how Dieng fits in with Jaren Jackson Jr. and Jonas Valanciunas. One thing Zach Klein told us yesterday is that Dieng won't have any impact on the current plan with Jaren Jackson Jr. as far as his split between the power forward and center positions. And same for Brandon Clark as far as Brandon Clark playing the four and the five. Probably won't affect Brandon as much anyway because he spends far more time at the four. But I just thought that was a really good pickup. I think it makes him a lot stronger at the five position. And the Grizzlies would definitely benefit from that on nights like last week against the Sixers when Jaren picked up, I think, 3 fouls in 8 minutes. And it's just tough for the Grizzlies to stay in games when their best player or second best player is on the bench for much of the first half. So, but you can plug in Valanciunas and Dieng for as many minutes as you need while you rest Jaren. Of course, that can only be beneficial. And then Jordan Bell's a bit more of a wild card. My sense is that the Grizzlies were a bit more excited about the pick swap with Houston, which is somewhat complicated, but we wrote about it on the site. You know, people can read the initial tweet that broke it to kind of get a sense of exactly what that pick swap is. But the assumption there is basically when that pick swap happens, which I believe is in 2023, but when the pick swap can happen, at least, Houston won't be as good as they are now, which seems like a pretty reasonable bet. So the Grizzlies can essentially move their way into potentially a pretty valuable second-round pick. So that's what the trade was about. But, of course, Jordan Bell was really good at Oregon, a former teammate of Dylan Brooks. Had a really good rookie year in Golden State and then kind of just lost it. Yeah, you know, and I don't watch every single Golden State game, especially them, so I couldn't tell you exactly what happened from year one to year two that kind of led to him falling out of favor. But he's high energy. You know, of course, he's a good player, was really good in college, unique skill set. And I'm just curious to see if, you know, he'll see minutes at the five, at the four, if he's just a developmental guy, and how the Grizzlies kind of see him going for it.
So do you think we will see Dieng as more a spot minute type of guy, or do you think that he'll come in and start to fill some of those Solomon Hill minutes?
I think he'll be more of a spot minute guy. He's a big, you know, so he's competing with Brandon Clark, with Jaren Jackson Jr., with Jonas Valanciunas for minutes. So given that Kleiman said yesterday that he doesn't alter the plan for Brendan Clark and Jaren Jackson Jr., and they presumably have the same role. Shane would either eat into Zion's Shunas' minutes or just be in that Bruno role of being an emergency big in case Jaren is in foul trouble or maybe a guy gets hurt or, or whatever it may be. You can still have a high-level center on the floor, and you're not kind of chancing playing Kyle at the five, as we've seen, Judah at the five, as we've seen. That's just extra insurance there. So Jang obviously probably is a little bit overqualified for that role. But at the same time, if he plays incredibly well, I'm sure the plan could change as the season goes on.
Absolutely. Let's take a quick break. I think that's a good description of Jang. And I'm glad, like you mentioned, I'm glad Zach said that we would not see that split of Jaren playing the five and the four, because I thought, quite frankly, he's doing a great job of, we saw just in the Wizards game the other night, where he was just tenacious on defense. Him and Brandon together just wouldn't let anything happen in the paint that lasts like 6-7 minutes of the game. Like, that was amazing to see, and I think that's something the Grizzlies should continue to do. So it's good to hear that Zach doesn't want to alter that plan. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. We'll talk about the biggest trade, obviously the Justice Winslow trade, coming up next.
If you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Grizzlies is a great way for local businesses to reach passionate Grizzlies fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Grizzlies fans and a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit LockedOnPodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit LockedOnPodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to the show. We talk with Amari Sankofa from The Athletic like we do every single Tuesday. I wanted to say one of the biggest trade for an entire segment, because I think we'll spend quite a bit of time on this. But first of all, what are your thoughts on Justice Winslow, the player? We'll talk about the trade itself in a minute, but just your thoughts on Justice Winslow, the player.
He's really good. He's a great defender. He's a great playmaker for his position. Good rebounder. He can defend 1-5. Really good athlete. He fits well. I think the only thing you kind of wonder about is his shooting, because he's never necessarily been a volume three-point shooter outside of last season when I believe he took around 4 per game. And they come at a pretty good clip. That dipped back down this season, but he's also been battling injuries. So assuming that three-point clip can hold from last season, then he's a perfect fit for his team. He does a lot of the same things that Kyle Anderson does. You know, the advantage of also being a better athlete than Kyle, and a potentially better shooter than Kyle as well. So I thought the acquisition made a lot of sense. Only thing with him is you hope that he can stay healthy. He's missed significant time this season with a lower back bruise, bone bruise. I think he's only played 1 game since December 4th. So, you know, we're going on almost 2.5 months of him not really playing. So the Grizzlies are confident that they can get him back healthy. Anthony Melton had a back issue, of course, last October, and that held him out of preseason. And, of course, Anthony Melton's fine now. He's playing at a high level. Assuming that they can treat this the same way they treated Anthony Melton, then he will return this season, as I climbed the stadium yesterday, and I think he fits this roster really well.
Yeah, I think he's a good player. And, talk about it, his health, is not necessarily trying to poo-poo the idea of Justice Winslow. It's just the fact that I think it's something that you have to mention, in the sense that it has been an issue, but it's also been a lot of different things for him. I'm not necessarily sure it's been just like, it's not like a Chandler Parsons thing where it has been all knee, all his knees have just been failing from the time he got here. It's been a lot of different things with Justice Winslow. The trade obviously brought back 2 big contracts for Justice Winslow, that ended up being Gorgui Dieng, but it was obviously our first James Johnson, but 2 contracts, and one was Dion Waiters. He got bought out, which we'll talk about. But your thought on the opportunity cost of getting Justice Winslow, and I said this on the show on Friday as well as Monday, that I don't necessarily have the problem with the opportunity cost once they realize they didn't want to be in the free agency this summer, and they use that cap space. My issue that I took with the trade, and not really if it's an issue or not, was I thought you could have gotten more value for Jay Crowder and Solomon Hill, those guys all together. Maybe that's not true. I don't know. Maybe they could never find what they wanted to find for Jay Crowder. But my thought was you could have probably gotten more value than two bad contracts and Justice Winslow. What were your thoughts on the opportunity cost of getting Justice Winslow along with those two big contracts?
I think it's not completely ideal. I mean, it's not a perfect trade for, I think, a variety of reasons. And one of those reasons is because you have to give up both Jay and Solo. The deal actually would have just worked without Solo, but presumably Miami wanted to include Deion Waiters in the deal. You know, for obvious reasons, Deion Waiters had issues in Miami this season that wasn't really playing. And then, of course, the Grizzlies had to then include Solo in the deal as well. So that's unfortunate because Solo was a great locker room guy. Jay was a day one starter and a great locker room guy as well. And that's a loss. You know, the Grizzlies are one of the youngest teams in the NBA. You know, before those guys got traded, you know, now I believe their average age is 24. So there are college teams that, you know, are probably close to that in the age. So this is a really young group. And then, of course, then from there, buy out Deion Waiters instead of using him maybe as a trade chip going into next season or whatever the deal would have been there, reaching a buyout and saving some money. They just straight waived him, and that's dead money on the books this year and next year. So that's also unfortunate, not quite as unfortunate given that, as you mentioned, they are punting on the 2020 offseason essentially and are going to operate on and above the cap team, you know, meaning that they would have just various exceptions given to them, like the mid-level exception. Which they used to sign Kyle Anderson, I believe, two years ago. So they can still, you know, do something in free agency. They just won't be in play for guys like a Brennan Ingram, who's a restricted free agent in New Orleans. So it's okay to have that money on the books if you did not plan for that money anyway. That's just the cost of getting a guy like Justice Winslow, who the Grizzlies are betting is going to be better than anybody they could have realistically gotten free agency this summer anyway. And, you know, I think that's a fair bet, given how good Justice had been in Miami when he was healthy. So not a perfect deal by any means. You know, you keep Solo, maybe you can then deal Solo elsewhere and get some other form of asset compensation back. I guess, long story short, the Grizzlies clearly feel so strongly that Justice is going to be a good player for this team that outweighs any potential risk, you know, the injury risk, the not getting any draft compensation back, sacrificing additional assets, and, you know, like Solomon Hill. That's how strongly they feel about Justice Winslow. And even if Justice doesn't work out, they have a team option on him after next season. So the Grizzlies, you know, if it really came down to it, could not pick up his option for the 2021-22 season and then go into the 2021 offseason with a lot of cap space. So it's just a one-year experiment, essentially. You're not really sacrificing any financial flexibility beyond 2021. And I think for B, that's what still makes this a really good trade because none of the ramifications last beyond next season.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like you mentioned, they clearly feel strongly about Justice Winslow. Zach mentioned it yesterday in the presser that that was option A for them. So they have convictions about a player, and I'm fine with that. If you've got convictions about a player, if you feel that strong about a player, go out and get the person you think is going to complete your team and make it better. It is a smaller risk with Justice Winslow, like you mentioned. They do have an option just to, you know, to get out from under the guy if it doesn't work out, if he doesn't stay healthy, all those type of things. So it's not a long term, like, huge risk. Again, my issue with the trade is just I think that they may have been blinded by the idea of Justice Winslow and not sought more compensation for what they had in Jay Crowder. You know, and that's all, you know, who knows, because I don't know what they were offered. You don't know. No one knows. And they're the only ones that could say, okay, putting Jay Crowder in this deal is going to get it done versus putting Jay Crowder in a different deal is going to get us a late second round pick. I want this deal instead. So that's clearly, and I think they've earned the benefit of the doubt from us in terms of what they've done over the summer, the moves they've made so far this year, to go, okay, that was hopefully maybe the best deal out there. I don't know, but that was where kind of I viewed it as I thought they could have gotten more value for what they got. I have no problem sacrificing the cap space. I have no problem getting just, I have no problems with any of those things. I just think you could have gotten more for what you had on the roster. Last thing on Justice Winslow before we take a break, what are your thoughts on his playing this year? You think he plays this year? Obviously, I think he plays in the next few weeks, but I've seen some people think where they've just shut him down all season. I don't think that to be the truth at all. Where are you on in terms of when he plays, how much he plays, if he plays, what type of role does he play on this team?
Yeah, so Zach Lavin said outright yesterday that Justice Lizzo will play this year. They have, and by this year, I mean this season, not this fall.
Right, yeah.
Like they have confidence in their medical staff that, they'll be able to get him healthy. And he's already missed significant time, obviously rehabbing his back injury. So it's not like this is a recent injury he suffered that he only recently began working on. This is a process that he's been undergoing throughout the season to get healthy. So I don't know what his original timeline was in Miami, but the Grizzlies, of course, are very confident that he'll play again this season. Whether that's after the All-Star break, or March, April, whatever that may be, I guess we'll have to see. They're pretty confident that he's going to contribute to this team sooner rather than later. So, they'll obviously from then be able to get more information on how he fits and, if this is a guy that, can be a fit for his team beyond next summer.
Yeah, I think it's something that will be interesting to see as we go over the next few weeks for sure. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more on that Zach Kleiman presser that we had yesterday. Welcome back to the show. Talking with Amari Sankofa like we do every single week on the Tuesday show for this podcast. Zach Kleiman spoke yesterday. It doesn't do it often, but he did speak to the media yesterday. Your thoughts on... I'll just say this. I thought it was refreshing to hear a lot of reasons, smart reasons of why they did things. Yes, Zach said a lot of things that were, for quote-unquote lawyer speak, a lot of things that he just couldn't comment on for various reasons, either franchise, they didn't want to keep things close to vest for their franchise, or in the Deion Waiters situation, they just didn't want to do it. But I thought a lot of the questions that you asked, or I asked, or anybody else was there asked, and the answers he gave, it was refreshing to hear the reasons behind what they did, and they were legitimate, and you could go, okay, that makes sense. What were your thoughts on this front office and the way they talked about how and why they did the deals they did?
Well, this front office is a pretty logical one. I mean, we saw last summer in the way that they collected assets, and then, of course, going into this trade deadline where, they pretty deliberately punted on this offseason to acquire Justice. And I thought that Zach Kleiman, everything he said, I mean, of course, made complete sense just based on what the Grizzlies did last week. We could see that the plan for this offseason was to operate as an above the cap team, because we saw them take one of those contracts and extend Dylan Brooks just to close the gap and get above the cap essentially. And one thing that stood out to me was that even just beyond the deadline, we were able to get clarity on some things that had been pretty unclear. I asked him about Josh Jackson, who is entering week two with the Grizzlies, and is an unrestricted free agent this offseason because the Grizzlies declined his 2020-21 option. So they gave a little bit more clarity on the situation with the Hustle. Zach said that they basically just had a special program for him, like a lot of extra shooting sessions at night. And like whatever the regimen was, they basically wanted to make sure that Josh was committed, that he could stick to a plan. And of course he passed, because if he didn't, he likely wouldn't be with the Grizzlies right now. Zach could not get into the plan for Josh this summer. I asked him about declining that team option, which personally I thought was interesting, because he's a cost controlled asset. You can still have him in the G League, have him prove himself in everything, but still have him for an additional season and give him additional time to prove himself before he enters restricted free agency in 2021. Now he won't be a restricted free agent in 2021. It's going to be an unrestricted free agent this summer. And it's possible that you could put him to this program, do all of this, and never think about from his work money, and he just go somewhere else. So Zach couldn't comment on the contract situation directly. But he did say that Josh did a good job and that the door is open, essentially. So we just have to see how Josh plays. You know, like, he's still kind of finding his NBA rhythm after being in the G League for 3 months. And, you know, whether he actually shows that he could be, you know, that wing the Grizzlies need remains to be seen. But it sounds like the Grizzlies are leaving the door open to him returning next season if it makes sense for both sides. And, you know, that's what we can say about Josh, you know, when he first got here, and there was essentially radio silence from the organization as far as what the plan was. So it's good to get clarity from Zach on that yesterday. You know, of course, there's a lot of stuff just about, you know, culture building, how Josh helped take his team out of schedule. It was mostly positive stuff. You know, this season's been an A-plus for the Grizzlies so far. I mean, I don't think anybody could have reasonably expected that they'd be 27 and 26 going into the All-Star break with a chance to be 2 games over .500 going into the break if they beat Portland on Wednesday. So, you know, Zach had a lot of good things to say. He talked about Dylan, talked about how well some of the other guys have played. You know, there really wasn't a whole lot to kind of drag him to the mud on. So definitely a pretty productive conversation, I would say.
Did it surprise you the way he answered the stuff about Dion Waiters getting waived? I mean, he pretty much said I thought it was interesting the way he said all of their representation. Like, I don't know, like, it was really about them talking to his agents and not much, I guess. I mean, they don't obviously really draw it directly to him, but it was a very quick answer.
Yeah, I mean, the Grizzlies, you know, they're not going to say much to make a guy look bad, you know, as we've seen with Iggy and with Sasha and some other situations. You know, we know that the Grizzlies have talked a lot about wanting to build a good culture here, about having good guys in the locker room. Dion Waiters hasn't really shown a lot, you know, just sort of reports with him, you know, tripping on the weed brownie on the team thing and everything else that was reported, you know, in the past few months. It just doesn't fit the profile of the guy the Grizzlies want around this team, just based on all the messaging. So Zach wasn't going to say anything too negative about Dion, but the short response definitely indicated that it was just a situation where both parties were better off moving on. Would it have been nice to get some clarity on why they released him instead of pushing for a buyout, or, you know, whatever the other option may have been? Yeah, that would have been nice, but I think we could just reasonably assume that, you know, Dion didn't want to leave money on the table. It's just easier to just kind of wash your hands of the situation and move on than deal with, you know, this extended battle, you know, for a guy who wasn't a part of your future to begin with.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting as well, just the way they approached that. I just wanted to get your thoughts on it. I just thought it was very quick, and it was the wording I thought was interesting. But either way, Amari, I appreciate you taking the time to join us this week on this show. What can people read from you this week?
For sure. So I've been working on a story, The Athletic. We're doing a series of Black History Month stories. And I've been working on one about the Civil Rights Museum, which, of course, the Grizzlies have a close relationship with, and the league as well. And, you know, it's a relationship that started, you know, a while back, and has only grown since then. So I'm going to finish that up today, hopefully. And that should be out within the next week. And then, of course, you know, the Rising Stars Challenge is this week, too. And I'll be down in Chicago, and everyone can expect coverage of that as well.
Awesome. Good to see. I'm glad you're going to be in Chicago. Have fun. I will see you tomorrow at the game, and we will do this again next week.
We'll do this again soon, Mark. As always, thank you.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
All right, man. Talk to you soon.